The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
We are back, ladies and gentlemen. Second hour of the National Intel Report. I got a couple calls here, and I want to clear those out because there's subject matter that I want to talk about today. And one of those things, I saw this on Fox Business, Ron, that Judge Napolitano was being interviewed about this Sanctuary City stuff. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know what? He says, you know, it's this thing that the states get money and the strings are attached. He says, this wasn't included in these federal grants. So in the future, if they receive federal money, that's got to have the strings attached there telling the states. Otherwise, the federal government can't force the states to do anything. And I want to wait a minute here. So we'll talk about that as well. Dennis, is he still there? Go ahead, Dennis.
In New York.
Yeah.
John, I'll be real quick because I know you got people waiting. But this is a great YouTube video. It's got links. It's got pages. It's so much information to absorb. And the title of it is this: What I Have Been Afraid to Blog About, the ESF and its history. And what this is all about is what they call the Exchange Stabilization Fund.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that we all should be aware of. I'd just like to know what your thoughts are if you get a chance to look over this thing. And I'll call you back some other time.
You know what?
Anyway, I'm sending you a PayPal payment, pal.
Well, you know who's really going to appreciate this? The guys tomorrow, because at least I can get them a partial payment here. We don't have slavery here at this network, and they don't have a ball and chain. So
I've been there, John, and I know how it is. Yeah,
I understand.
Right.
Hey, Dennis, thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Chance in West Virginia. Hello, Chance.
Yes, hello, Mr. Stadtmiller. I just tuned in 10 minutes ago, and I'm just wondering, have many people responded to your request for donation, I pray?
A few have.
Well, I sent you something today, and I don't mean to sound presumptuous, but if people would just sacrifice in little ways, and I promise to send you four times what I sent you at the beginning of the month, I would hate to lose your radio station.
Well, I would hate it as well. You know, I really would. And a lot of people don't understand doing a program every day, running a network, and I made kind of light of this, but outside of the network, for the humble abode and doing your own laundry and doing your cooking and having to do your cleaning and everything else and emptying out the kitty litter box, I don't have any time to do anything. And when your schedule is booked and you're full and you're running on fumes, it's not an easy thing to do. And the state of mind is most important. So I'm trying to keep a semblance and a balance and keep my head screwed on straight.
Yes, Mrs. Stadtmiller, yes, keep your chin up. And like I said, I will send you a substantial sum next month also. You know, like I said, I don't mean to sound presumptuous because I know money is tight for many people, and it's hard to ask for money. It's especially hard for myself. So I understand where you're coming from, but folks need to step up to the plate.
They really do, and I would appreciate that, because the unraveling of this network and us having still the ability to stay on air is something short of miraculous, I would say. But it's because of listeners out there. You know, the economic times has hit everybody hard. And, I think I heard Bill Deagle say there was only 2.5 networks left. So hopefully the other one doesn't fold up, because I know their bill is a hell of a lot higher than this one.
Well, yours is the best, Mrs. Spatmiller.
Well,
there's
I appreciate
no doubt
that.
About that.
Thank you, Chance.
There's no doubt about that, and God bless you.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate the sentiment, and I appreciate the donation as well. Thank you.
No problem. All no right. problem whatsoever.
All righty. By the way, Ron.
Yes.
By the way, I had a gentleman that drove up from San Antonio. He's been a listener to the network for many years. And, John, if you're out there driving back, well, you should be back in San Antonio. He left a couple hours ago. At any rate, he made a special trip up, come up and bought me lunch, and he gave me a little gift. Well, actually, three gifts. One was kind of a yuck-yuck. He actually gave me $500 million from the Reserve Bank of Zimbabwe. So, ladies and gentlemen, now, this is a hell of a donation. I just received today $500 million. The only trouble is it's not even worth the paper it's written on. It's kind of strange. On this $500 million bill, they've got three rocks piled up. That's the imagery on the bill. But $500 million in Zimbabwe funds.
Also, you know, there were people investing in the currency, hoping that would regain value again.
Kind of like the dinar as well. Remember that one?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yes, I do.
Yeah. And he gave me something else, which I have known about, but I've never actually had one. Everybody's got a $2 bill. Okay, you can pick these up just shopping, and somebody giving you change back. But it's usually a United States note. And they're semi-collectible, maybe. Not worth a whole lot. But the $2 bill he gave me today was actually the United States note, which I'd heard about the $2 bill. I'd just seen the fives. I've actually had a five and a 10 and a 20. But I'd never had the $2 bill, and he gave me the $2 bill. Now, what the third little gift that he gave me, it wasn't a donation, but something that is absolutely astounding just to hold in my hand, is an 1860 pocket constitution. Now, that was 157 years ago. And the people that wanted to argue out there about the 13th Amendment, you know, was just absolutely, well, it was absolutely incredible to me that they didn't believe that the 13th Amendment was something other than what they see today. Now, what they see in the Constitution today, the 13th Amendment, neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, except as punishment for crime, whereof of the party shall have been duly convicted, shall exist within the United States or any other place subject to their jurisdiction. And Section 2 on that 13th Amendment is, Congress shall have the power to enforce this article by appropriate legislation. Folks, prior to the Civil War, there was already an existing 13th Amendment. Gee, Ron, in this 1860 handout that has the Constitution of the United States, the Declaration, and Washington's farewell address, the 13th Amendment, if any citizen of the United States shall accept, claim, receive, or retain any title of nobility or honors, or shall, without the consent of Congress, accept or retain any present. This is hard to read because the paper is really. The consent of Congress, accept or retain any present pension, office, or any emolument of what of any kind whatsoever from any emperor, king, prince, or foreign power, such as a person shall cease to be a citizen of the United States and shall be incapable of holding any office of trust or profit under them or either of them. That was the original 13th Amendment. And what this basically was telling people is you can't have titles of nobility. You can't have a title of nobility and be a public office holder, such as lawyer or barrister. Sound about right, Ron?
Yeah, esquires. Yep. Yep.
So here I have a little, it just blows me away. You know, we're talking five generations ago, plus in this country, 157 years ago, I'm holding a 157-year-old pocket constitution. You know, between this and McGuffey readers, I don't think we'd have too many ignorant people in this country that are confused, as confused about their gender as they are what form of government we're supposed to have. Amazing.
You know, I have several books with that 13th Amendment in it. You know, it wasn't just the Constitution put out, like you say. You have a, is it a in book form or is it a little Constitution?
No.
Okay, it's actually a Constitution. Yeah.
You know, it's in book form.
Yeah, many of the states had put out their political codes, their you know, civil codes, code of civil procedures, and penal codes. And they put along with it their state constitution and the federal constitution back then.
Yeah.
And you'll see the same writing in those.
You know, it's amazing how stuff has been flushed down the memory hole in this country. I mean, it is simply amazing to me. Somebody had sent me this email from Zenger News, and they were asking President Trump to rescind and declassify Presidential Decision Directive 51. Now, if you guys remember this, this PDD, Presidential Decision Directive, PDD 51, you first heard about it. You remember Michael New, Ron?
No, I don't.
New was the guy that was in the U.S. Army. He was a specialist. And he was told that he's going to be sent over to Macedonia. And when he learned that he would be under foreign command, going to that, he said, no. He says, I've got to decline. I'm not going to be under a foreign commander. I'm a U.S. soldier. Now, this caused a lot of pain and consternation to the government because they didn't want to hear this crap from the rank and file, especially the Army. They didn't want to hear that. And what Michael New was told at his hearing is, we cannot tell you what's in Presidential Directive Decision 51 because basically if we told you it's highly classified, we'd have to kill you. In so many words. But this is the background and the lowdown on this one. And Zenger News put this up, and I agree with this. He said, I remember President Trump's speech at his inauguration very well, with a few phrases that stand out that I can't forget. One of those quotes was taking power away from Washington, D.C., returning to a constitutional authority to the people in the states. The move to restore faith with his base and win some patriots who have severe reservations about him to rescind and declassify Presidential Decision Directive 51. Since September 11th, false flag attacks gave the tyrants the excuse to ignore the Bill of Rights. This event was used as an excuse to take away all of our liberties in our Bill of Rights by the name of Keep Us Safe from those terrorists that didn't exist. Ever since the federal government has been the terrorists attacking our freedoms with the Patriot Act and forming the TSA that makes airline travel a nightmare. You know, they just want to grope your stuff, folks, because you might have a bomb there. The authoritarians using 9/11 as an excuse to erode our liberties want more power. And President Bush signed and classified Presidential Decision Directive 51, where on the cover sheets make the president a dictator and Congress's constitutional authority to be a check and balance against executive overreach is non-existent. PDD 51 is so classified and kept secretive by the executive branch of the government, the members of Congress who have classified security clearances that sit on a chair in the Homeland Security Committee to see classified documents, asked to see what was in PDD 51. When they requested the White House to see it, the Bush administration denied the members access to even see what was in the directive. The president can use PDD 51 to declare a national emergency for any reason, because of economic chaos, political turmoil, or natural disasters here or abroad. Looking at the Homeland Security PDF form, this gives the president a blank check to tyrannize the American people in the name of the continuity of government. Under PDD 51, if martial law is declared by the national emergency, Congress is left out of the loop and cannot intervene for 6 months. And these people are saying, I'm calling on President Trump to declassify and rescind PDD 51. Is he serious about restoring the separation of powers and states' rights and the liberties of the American people? Well, declassify that so the public interest groups can actually see what was being kept from them from Congress and the American people. If there is any way President Trump can do to expose the deep state is to rescind and declassify PDD 51, because it's unconstitutional and illegal for one branch of government to have so much power. If the president is serious about devolving power from Washington back to the states and the people under the 9th and 10th Amendments, then declassify and rescind PDD 51. Sounds like a good thing to do.
Oh, it does sound like a good thing to do. I don't know how that can be passed without an act of Congress.
Well, because it was done by it's kind of akin to an executive order. Now, everybody was all a Twitter because Donald Trump was using executive orders to rescind Obama's executive orders. But there's still the president acting as if he were king.
The president doesn't have a right to create a new power. The powers that he wields are those powers within the Constitution, the parameters of those of the Constitution. This is a new power we're talking about. This is to exclude the Congress. There's no power granted to the president on that aspect.
John in Texas. Hello, John.
Hi, John. Hi, Ron. John, I heard your little spill at the end of the show on Friday about donations.
Yeah.
And I wanted to share something with you. I wanted to share an analogy with you. And the analogy is I go to a small church in Buda. Okay. And there's about 150 to 175 members of that church at the most every week. And they collect $30,000 a month.
Whoa.
And I thought to myself, here you got a radio station, and I'm not bragging or anything, but I'm a member of the Dollar a Day Club. And the purpose of this call is to get some more people to participate and support your network, because I don't know your numbers, John, but I know there's got to be tens of thousands, at minimum, hundreds of thousands of people all over the world listen to your radio program, and you're struggling to collect $11,000 a month.
Yeah.
I don't know how to comprehend that.
Well, it's
my analogy.
Well,
John,
maybe I'm in the wrong business. Maybe, you know, I was told when I was a kid that I'd be good at one of three things: being a preacher, being a cop, or being a dad, or maybe all three. So maybe
maybe
I missed my calling.
I know you're being partly sarcastic and facetious all at the same time. But,
yes, I am.
But there's a lot of truth in what you're saying.
Yeah.
150 to 100. I'm on the finance committee. So these are real numbers.
By the
$30,000 a month.
By the way, John, when I first got down here to Texas, I made the mistake of calling Buddha. And I heard from the people.
There you go, John.
Hey, I've got a break. Thanks for your call, John. I appreciate it very much.
Take care.
All right, sir.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's I-C-A-N-G-E-T, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
I've been looking for that Fox Business clip with Napolitano, Andrew Napolitano, and I've yet to uncover it because I'm doing this by memory, but I know what I heard. And he said, you know, I'm sorry to say this about sanctuary cities. And by the way, I guess California just declared the entire state to be a safe zone for illegals. Isn't that right, Ron?
I don't know. I don't pay attention to it any longer. You know, when the county itself decides to do that without a vote, you know, it's like power abuse.
Well, but they're looking out and they're being very sensitive for everybody's needs.
Whose needs?
Yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah, foreigners, yeah.
Yeah. And the state, the people that are actually dragging California... I mean, I remember a large influx of people that during the Depression and the Dust Bowl that hit the Midwest, and people just, they'd go to California just to pick fruit to survive. There was a lot of people that went to California. And to watch this state, and I gave you a firsthand report. When I came out a few years ago, you know, I'd never seen California. I could have taken the top route and went into Northern California, but I thought, you know, I've never seen California, so I started down as south as I could get, and I drove through the entire state. I was blown away how beautiful a state that really is. And when I get into your neck of woods with the redwoods and the vine, the vineyards and all that, I was like, did I just die and go to heaven? Because it was absolutely beautiful. But politically, these political asshats that have been motivated to turn that state into nothing but a cesspool.
Yeah, well, there were people heading into California, it was affordable. It was an affordable state. So there's two different types of people here now. Those that are on welfare and are sucking the state dry, and those that can't afford to stay here because the cost of living has gone up. So that's, and the very, very wealthy. So this is what's happened to California. And it breaks your heart. You know, I was raised in San Francisco, so it breaks my heart to see that it's being sold out. But every state in the union, I think, is being sold out today, either through China or someplace.
And San Francisco, and again, beautiful little city. But you saw my reaction when we went down there for that little symposium.
Oh, yes.
You remember my reaction of looking at the people that were walking on the streets? I went, my God in heaven, where is this?
Yes. I also remember you going over the Golden Gate Bridge and how you reacted.
And I was aghast because it's a nice bridge and I've always seen it. I've seen it in movies, never saw it in person. And it's a wonder I didn't wreck the car that day because I was just rubbernecking all over the place.
I know.
But that was, wasn't that the exit to San Francisco that we did?
Yes.
And I was happy to get the hell out of town. where am I at here, Mike? Oh, they're all right there. So I take Richard in New York. Richard in New York. Hello, Richard.
Yeah, good evening, John. How are you doing?
Fair to middling, mostly good. Under chem-trailed skies, I must tell you today.
You know, I've been a listener since probably 2010. I started on shortwave radio. And you know what? Deagle's not a prophet. And he's not a medical doctor for over 20 years. And he went through this with GCN, and now he's with Tom Horn, L.A. Marzulli, Steve Quayle, and all these guys out there in Arizona coming back. And here we go to GCN again. So, you know, I'm not confused at all.
Yeah, well, I'm not either. And I've got to tell you that... And other people that have been on GCN that have come over to this network will be the first one to tell you that the people that are the host on this network by the board ops here are treated with the utmost respect. I mean, they are, because they understand that their information and their personality and the stuff that they bring to the people out there, that's what this is all about. And to find people that become abusive, and apparently the motivation is... You know, I can be a nice guy,
money. But
the money.
Money for Deagle. Everything about Deagle is money, and he's not a prophet.
Well,
he's nothing.
They can tune into the other prophet on GCN there. He's about his medical stuff, too. So they can have their choice now, which product they want to buy. The overpriced product, that is. Richard, thanks for your call. Alan, Steve, and Dave, hang on. We'll be back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hey there, quick question for you. Would you be okay with more energy, more endurance, thicker, healthier hair, a better mood, reduced appearance of wrinkles, improved sleep, improved blood pressure and cholesterol profiles, improved vision, improved memory? Okay then. Well now, have you heard of Nature's Youth RSF? It's from the anti-aging experts at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. See, at Nature's Youth, they understand exactly what it means to provide top quality health products. And Nature's Youth customers not only improve their health, they know they're also providing their body with the right nourishment to maintain that peak performance and fight the aging process. If health, wellness, and nutrition are what you desire, choose Nature's Youth RSF. I did. You see, you're going to get older. It's just up to you how you feel when you get there. Get started today. Nature's Youth RSF. Simple to use, simple to order. Go to naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promote stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
By the way, the individual that called into my program last week to tell me about Wynn Parker, Mike in South Carolina, this one's for you, sweetie. He made no such statement. So please, with the information that I ask you to verify, and I go to verify it, and I find out you, let me be kind, are misleading, please don't call into this network anymore. We've got enough problems as it is. Alan in West Virginia. Hello, Alan.
Hey, John, I just wanted to bring up the definition of terrorist. I use a lot of online etymology, and I also have a question for Ron after we're done.
Okay.
And when you look up terrorist, it said originally in my online etymology dictionary that it was a reference to tactics used by a government to subvert the citizens. Now, I looked it up just a minute ago so I would have a fresh remembrance of what to tell you and read to you, and they've changed it. Now it says, since 1944, especially in reference to Jewish tactics against the British in Palestine. Earlier, it was used for extremist revolutionaries in Russia, blah, blah, blah. In other words, they've changed it from the government to where, if you keep reading on down, it's a clandestine expatriate organization aiming to coerce or establish government by acts of violence against its subjects.
Question for Ron?
So, my question for Ron is there a good online etymology dictionary that I could look at to get the true somebody that's not changing definitions every time you turn around?
Yeah, you would have to go back to probably, let's see here, the lexicon, mercantile lexicon. That would give you that, like, territory, where do you think terrorist comes from? Or district, where do you think distraint comes from? These are names that indicate that the citizen within, the subject within, is either a terrorist and he's restrained, or in a district, which we're all in districts now, and this is with distraint, and that's how the government sees us. That's a place we're in right now.
Right.
But I would do the Lex Mercatorium.
He stepped on you. What did you just say, Ron?
I would research the Lex Mercatorium.
Did you get that, Alan?
Okay. Yeah, I'll check that out. And yeah, I was just trying to make a point that after all the years that I've used this, especially in my law, when I study law, I always go to the definition, and I put so much trust into this. Then I find out now they're changing the definitions, which I have noticed in the dictionaries, in the book dictionaries, every so many years that they change the definitions.
Yeah. Well, look at the defining of celibacy. Celibacy in the century-old dictionary said one who could not get married. Today it indicates more of one who cannot have sex. Well, we have to go back to the origins of it. How it was used in the churches, and that was they couldn't get married because they didn't want the money going to heirs, and they also wanted greater control of the priests. So, I mean, changing the nature of words is just part of where we live today. This is what happens today.
Well, and it's convenient.
Right.
It's convenient.
And awesome.
It's convenient for the It's convenient for the administrative state as well. You know, I'm
right. Exactly. That's my point.
Yeah.
And it's like I learned something on your network from one of your I don't remember who it was now, but one of them was talking about the definition of nice. He said it's not what you think it is. So I looked it up in etymology. Well, they haven't changed it yet. And the first thing that comes up is foolish, stupid, senseless, careless, clumsy. Weak, poor, needy, simple, stupid, silly, foolish, you know, ignorant, unaware, literally, not knowing, you know, it just keeps going on and on and on. Of course, down later, if you go way down, it says, you know, a little bit different, but it's not a whole lot. So, you know, of course, they've played word games with us for so many years. A person has to really be careful and study these things of what the definition of every word is we use.
Well, and didn't Bill Clinton use that as a defense against a Monica Lewinsky situation? You know, you've got to understand what the meaning of is.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, then, so there's what you got. Hey, Austin, while you was talking earlier about I tried to get in, but I couldn't. I guess the lines was full when you was talking about doctors. You know, I noticed about 80% of the time I listened to a lot of doctors and stuff on different programs, and I noticed probably at least 80% of the time that if they don't like what the question that somebody is asking them, they get them cut off pretty short, really quick. You know, they don't give them a chance to actually talk to them.
Well,
or explain
I find the best trick that they use is just to talk right over the top of you.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
All right, Alan.
That's what I was going to say was, you know, how to take care of that problem is tell your board up there to shut his mic off and let the
I don't think
patron of the network call in.
I don't think there's going to be a problem with that on the network anymore. So there's that. Okay, Alan from West Virginia, thank you. Appreciate it. Steve-O in California. Hello, Steve. Hey, Sanctuary State. It looks like you're getting the hell out of California just in the nick of time to get down to God's waiting room.
Yeah. We're still working at him in the garage here and listening to the show and enjoying it. And just wanted to chime in and just say, reiterate basically what you had just said that about respect for other staff, and your board ops do a fine job. And I told Mike and Dan that several times. You do a fine job.
Oh, there.
Whenever I've set for you, I've always said, "Hey, great job! You're right on top of it."
Well, and Steve,
I believe in giving respect to people, and in return, if you give respect, you will earn respect and get it back. So,
well, don't we have a group of people out there demanding respect for irrespectful things that they're doing right now? And as I've always said, that respect, you cannot demand it. Respect is earned.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny they mentioned that when we were in basic training, and I was just a 20-year-old guy there, and it talked about respect, and just because somebody had rank, do you respect them? And it was funny they went around the whole group there and asked one by one, what do you think? And somebody, before it got to me, said, respect has to be earned. Just because the guy has stripes and he has authority doesn't mean he's earned it. At least he hasn't earned it to me, and he has to be challenged on that. Just because he has the stripes doesn't mean he gets that authority, that respect right off the bat. Initially, just a personal respect, but the actual respect of authority is a totally different situation. But, you know, you're doing a great job there at the network. You've got a good team of people. You've got some great administrative people there, Julie. You got some great board ops, and I respect them. They're doing a job. They're giving all. They're all to this whole effort. We're all giving our all to this effort because it is worthwhile to do so. And, you know, if somebody doesn't want to be a team player, well, then it's pretty simple. You show them the door. And I think that's where we are in the situation you're in right now.
Well, and, you know, and here's a perfect opportunity for you to retire and become a member of the RBN team.
I am looking forward to that. Our little conversation will be down there very soon, and we are definitely coming through town, so we will sit down and talk about
okay,
that.
Okay, I'm going to find out for sure if you're really married and you got a wife.
Yeah,
I can validate that.
You can validate that? Okay.
Yes,
see,
Ron can validate it.
Okay, Ron was your validator. Okay, all right.
Yep.
Steve, I appreciate it, my friend.
You got it. Take care, John.
Okay, sir. Yeah, dedication, folks. Dedication, I mean, where the hell does that come from? You know, I mean, what if you're dedicated? You know, if you're dedicated, you're dedicated. You never question it. You just do it as a matter of course because, well, of course it makes sense. In a world as screwed up as it is today. And you know, I saw a story the other day, Ron, that I was just fascinated by. There was I guess the kid was, 11 years old, and he went in and he got some counseling, and, well, he decided to have sex changes. So he was getting shot up with the female hormone, and he started to grow boobs, and, well, he decided he didn't like it. 11 years old.
Oh, my God.
And I'm looking at this, and I'm going, enough is enough. This is why I've encouraged people, when you see and hear this kind of crap, stand up against it, because we're at a tipping point right now in this country. We're at a tipping point right now in this country of what is going on, and it ain't pretty. I mean, it just...
Well, you know, they attack these young people at the time of their lives that, you know, they're still in that childish mode where they want to be a lion or, you know, and they go through the acts and stuff like that. So they put these ideas in their heads. And unbelievable. 11 years old. That is incredible. That's incredible.
Well, and
parents should be shot.
Well, and you know what? The conditioning is happening even before. I mean, it's going down right to kindergarten and preschool. I mean, they're actually in there. molding the minds of your children. This is why years ago I had asked people, you know, if you're treating your public school system as a convenient babysitter operation, you know, what, 9 months out of the year and for a good portion of the day so you can go to work because two people can't seem to make an income to make mortgage payments and car payments and put clothes and food on the table and all that stuff. You know, if you're looking at these, the public school system as a good place to park your kid at least for 6-7 hours a day, are you paying attention to what they're teaching your children? You know, I'm looking at this 157-year-old pocket constitution, and the McGuffey readers would be all the students going up to grade 12 would ever need. But they're in there manipulating and controlling. You know, folks, when we say, you know, it's not theory here, this is fact, that the communists themselves, the Marxists themselves, and the finer points of the Communist Manifesto said that the U.S. should use the public school system first, give free education. Well, folks, you know the deal behind that. There's nothing free in this life. Somebody has to pay. But, you know, anybody can take advantage of that education in the public school system, and just to make sure that you get propagandized with the latest and greatest propaganda, we'll send out truant officers if you don't put your kid in that damn school. You know, bet your bottom dollar we're going to go round up your kid because he's supposed to be in school getting propagandized. This is one of the 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto, Ron, to use the public school system as a transmission belt for government propaganda. And my God in heaven, look, you know, we got pedophiles all over the place. Mayors of cities, just had one out there close to you out in Seattle there, that for the fifth time somebody had popped up, it was happened to be this time a cousin of him, saying, you know, you molested me when I was a kid, when I was just a kid. So he decided to step down so, you know, none of this is a distraction for the city of Seattle. Oh, and by the way, I won't be running again. Oh, by the way, I hope to hell you end up in jail. Because if you don't have the common decency and the morality and the ethics to leave a mind alone, a child alone, you're not much worth. You're not worth much to yourself, and you sure as hell aren't worth anything to anybody else. You know, and they play this game that's being played, is horrendous. There are people that are ending up on lists, and I get emails all the time. Well, check out this website. This shows you the predators that had to register the sex offenders. And in the meantime, the administrators of this are the biggest baby rapers and father screwers I've ever seen in my life. I'm aghast. I got you off base today, don't I, Ron?
Yeah, well, you know, I can't make a comment on it because it's a horrid situation, you know, that what happens to young children in this society and what how our government is just taking its I don't know, the fickleness. I mean, it's like first it was every kid pledge allegiance to the state, and next it's let's decide what gender you're going to be as you grow up. It's unbelievable what is happening here.
Well, and but it's free. Yeah. Dave in Wisconsin. Hello, Dave.
Hi, John. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
You mentioned about the titles of nobility and emoluments and so forth.
Right.
And the really nasty people have reverse engineered our system of government. And so essentially, I just want to say a couple of things about that. But first, I'd like to mention that a real hardcore communist is campaigning against Bill English over in New Zealand, and that election is coming up this week and at the end of this week. And Trevor Loudon came over here and helped us keep that piano legs out of office, and he worked hard at doing so. He poured his heart out to these people here saying, thank you, America, for defending us from the onslaught of the Japanese during World War II. He's a good man, so I think that anybody that can do anything or encourage anybody they know in New Zealand to vote for Bill English instead of Jacinda Ardern, please do so. But back to the point about the constitutional issues. I have a personal friend that was the first man to defend Michael New. His name is Colonel, he's retired, a retired Marine Corps Colonel, Ron Ray. And
you know, I interviewed Ron Ray years ago.
All right. I know, he's a friend of mine.
I know who this guy is, yeah.
That's an extraordinary story that deserves to be revisited. It really does. But to the other point about the reverse engineering of the titles of nobility, all right, I'm going to read something that's a fact, and I'll just go ahead. In 1968, the United States government honored Prince Philip. Of course, I'm talking about Prince Philip, the guy that said he wants to come back as a virus and kill everybody.
Yeah.
All right. In 1968, the United States government honored Prince Philip as the Grand Commander of the Order of Maritime Merit of the San Francisco Port Authority. So if anyone wants to understand why San Francisco is so much in the toilet, then they might want to consider that the United States has given him that army and or that award, and it comes through the Department of the Army. It's called the Department of the Army Meritorious Civilian Service Award. And I really thank you for taking my call, because I think this is important to understand how dirty the British royal family is and how much they pretend to be Christians and how they're the exact opposite.
Well, and isn't it strange, Dave, you know, to have some simple transparency, to have a government working with an honest currency, that should be the number one priority for the government, to make sure that there's no middlemen ripping anybody off. But what has the federal government given us, and what have we lived with for over 100 years? It's the very people that are debasing and very people that are stealing what's left of the wealth in this country.
And that is an absolute fact. And on that point, John, and Ronald also, because I don't want to talk to just one of you, but on that point, back during the war, Northern Aggression, the war between the states, whatever you want to call it, Montgomery Blair established within the post office what you were talking about earlier there, the postal money orders.
Mm-hmm.
And I've listened to a man who's deceased now. He was from Virginia, and his name escapes me, Eustace Mullins. I've listened to some of his presentations that are on videos yet, and he described the difference between interest-bearing and non-interest-bearing money.
Mm-hmm.
And U.S. postal money orders are non-interest-bearing, and they're very minimal in expense, and they do not expire, and as long as someone leaves them unadulterated, in other words, does not start writing on them, they are a better currency than the FRNs.
But the only problem is when you're trying to negotiate one of those, say that you've got a money order for $100 and you owe somebody 50, what are they going to give you back?
That's a perfect problem, but it's also a perfect opportunity for a teaching moment.
No, I got you there. I understand the concept, but you know, people have been dancing around with this, and you know, Catherine Austin Fitz, I love the woman, she's been doing a lot of good work, but she's on this mission of somehow to circumvent and try to find a different way for us to do business, when the very essence of doing business and the exchange of which we do that business is with an honest currency.
The USPS's money orders can be ordered in any denomination, so it's a matter of it gets more expensive as someone purchases the money orders in a lesser denomination, because it runs up to, I think it's $500 where it costs.
Yeah, but okay, Dave, I get all that. The problem is. That how do those postal money orders come into being? You purchase them
by using Federal Reserve notes, and then you're going to use that as an exchange. But it's still derived from the cancerous idea that we've got interest-bearing money. We're still dancing around the issue here. When we
all
should,
right, I agree. It's dancing around the issue, but it also opens opportunities to talk about the very egregious issue.
No, I get I appreciate your call. I understand what you're saying, but you want to find a better way of doing it? Whip out a real quarter or a dime and drop that on the counter in the next Stop and Rob. We call them convenience stores down here. They're still convenient because the people don't have to barricade themselves behind 3 inches of Lexan. But you want to do a starter conversation. Drop a quarter on the counter and say, you know what you just heard? Or better still, carry around a silver dollar. They will be amazed. They've never seen one. They don't know what the hell it represented. Glenn in Philadelphia. We've got about a minute here left, Glenn. Go ahead.
All right, John, I only need 20 seconds.
Okay.
Quick stopgap solution for Deagle's slot. P.J. Barton, if you've got some evening hours for you. It would be evening his time.
Yeah, but I don't know if he's geared to do 5 days, but I appreciate the suggestion.
Whatever. Yeah, I just enjoy him. It would be nice to hear him on the weekdays. All right, take care. Thanks.
All right, appreciate it, Glenn. I don't know if the man's built to do that, but Al Whitney might. Even if she could only do an hour a day, we find somebody else to fill another hour. Before you know it, Bill who? This weekend, Chicago, Shoot-a-Rama. And that's a little play on words there from Rahm Emanuel, or Rama.
Only... Now, let me ask you a question. Is Bill Deagle a nice guy?
You're asking the wrong man.
No, N-I-C-E. We just got a... define it of what that term means.
Oh, nice. What's your interpretation of nice?
Exactly what I was told, you know, kind of an idiot.
Hey, I didn't go there. You did.
No, I'm just going with the guy that called in on the defining of that term.
Shoot-a-Rama in Chicago. Folks, I got this from Michael Rivero's website. Dated today, this weekend, Chicago Shoot-a-Rama, 10 dead, 30 wounded, 500 homicides so far this year. And we're just in the middle of September, folks. And another weekend passes, the celebrities out there slapping each other in the back and bashing Trump. Students across the nation demand more statutes come down. Politicians promote various self-aggrandizing issues. And Chicago is nothing but a freaking bloodbath that no one seems to care about. And the questions are being asked, why is Mexico's Sinaloa cartel, why they love selling drugs in Chicago? Why 25 police squads wouldn't go after and investigate a gangbang party of over 1,000 members? Ex-Mexican official indicted in Chicago cartel, that's a secrets case. And are Mexican drug cartels working with 100,000 street cartels in Chicago? Can't buy any guns there, but guns are conveniently showing up in Cosmoline, direct from the manufacturer, and the violence and the gangbangers continues. Oh, and by the way, that's another sanctuary city. Aren't we having fun? Thank you, Ron McDonald.
A pleasure.
Donate to the network, folks, please.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.